feel the use of captive trained birds of prey is a good way of dispersing other birds like pigeons and gulls? Yeah, if you've got personal experience, it'll trump whatever I think.
And he used to do that in all sorts of different locations for councils and that, just fly a bird, the bird of prey through. Very rarely it would catch anything. We've got another question from a returning listener today. This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. I'm Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott. My job is getting people out into nature on a daily basis in as many ways as I can. Who's the co-host?
William Anklow. Thank you so much for being with us for this another podcast episode. We recently passed 175,000 listens. I don't know where we are right now with the listens, but we are steadily heading.
I think we're near about 180,000 now.
Yeah, steadily heading towards 200,000. It won't take us long to get there. It's you that help us to get there. And at the end of the day, these are just figures, but it does show that there are people out there interested like yourself.
And at the end of this episode, we've got an announcement about what's going to be happening next year. If you listen to previous episodes, you know what that announcement's going to be. But if you haven't, keep listening. And we've also got an announcement about an exclusive audio Patreon post you can claim if you offer us just a little donation on a monthly basis.
So anyway, the question is from Alvaro in Spain. Do you want to read the question now? Because you don't ever read questions.
No, I don't really.
So Alvaro, thank you very much for your question. Alvaro from Spain. Their question is, do you feel the use of captive trained birds of prey is a good way of dispersing other birds like pigeons and gulls?
Shall I talk from personal experience on this?
I think that'd be, if you've got personal experience, it'll trump whatever I think.
Yeah, there's a guy I know who lives not too far away. He's retired now. Mm. And he uses to keep all sorts of different birds of prey. Mm. Lives Minchley Farm, Littlemore area in Oxford. And his job used to be that he would go round to, especially round Sutton Courtney Tip near Didcot. It was a waste tip. He would go round and just fly a Harris Hawk or something through the site. And they'd all each have a little monitor on the back so he knew where they were. And he would just fly it. There'd be another bloke and they'd just fly it through. So it would fly through and go to the other person's arm. And it would just disperse all the gulls. And he used to do that in all sorts of different locations for councils and that. Just fly a bird, the bird of prey through. Very rarely it would catch anything. And that was his job. And I remember he was telling me a story. He had two birds of prey flying through. And the dust cart drivers who would come and tip it, the Sutton Courtney Tip, some of them didn't like him, didn't like the birds. They'd rather have the gulls.
Okay? Interesting.
And there was one who actually the Harris Hawk actually caught a pigeon, and he had it on the ground, and the dust cart driver drove over it, killed it.
What, the Harris Hawk?
Killed it, yeah. I can't remember this guy's name. I think it may be Paul. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he knew geographically where this bird was because it was bleeping.
Yeah.
And the driver said, "Oh, it's under the ground now. There's no point. Well, there's no point coming back because it's dead."
Yep.
So that's my personal experience of this. It's a very unique question, and so from that I can see that there are some people who would rather have the infestation of gulls that wouldn't be there if we didn't produce all that rubbish and tip it in that way. And there are pigeons all in our city centres that are considered vermin. So the hawks fly through, and it keeps the numbers down. I can see there are some people who see it as a good thing and some as a bad. But
how I interpret the question I'll read the question out again. Do you feel the use of captive trained birds of prey is a good way of dispersing other birds like pigeons and gulls? So is it an effective way, is what I would say. I think that's what Alvaro's asking. Is it actually really effective? I've got a story.
I think it moves the birds somewhere else.
Yeah, but is it effective long term? You know,
you have to keep doing it.
Yeah, so I my story is I was in Paddington Station once and I saw a guy with a hawk walking through the station and had a conversation with him, because London, he could be, he was just yeah. carrying his hawk through London, but it was exactly that. He was getting it to fly across the station in certain directions.
Yeah.
And it presents a, for pigeons in particular, it presents obviously a predator being in the area. Yeah. But to be honest with you, I don't think it really makes a lot of difference.
I see it as like a broom. You yeah. sweep something, you sweep a load of leaves up.
Yes.
But they're going to come back anyway.
It's a very good analogy. I sometimes think that with somewhere like a railway station, it might also be a bit of a PR exercise, because it shows that the station are actually trying to reduce what's in there. Is it effective? It must be effective to some degree, but it has to be done on a regular basis. But even, like, I think the broom analogy is very good, by the
way. It's a good one. The broom analogy is a good one. But just because the leaves come back doesn't mean it shouldn't be swept.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know. But clearly it does divide people, because that dust cart driver drove over the hawk and killed it, crushed it, because didn't want it there.
Yeah,
it's very divisive. I mean, I'm more aware of that, the division in the subject, as opposed to the effectiveness.
But the question I would also ask is, in that area, in that environment, so in a tip, what exactly do the goals? What negative do the goals bring to that area? Because it's just a rubbish tip.
Yeah, but it's the amount of you know. It's when we consider something dominating, so you get a huge population of them, and then they start causing a nuisance, and there's droppings everywhere, and then there's a health issue, and then it's this division we have with what's considered vermin and what isn't. I mean, when we see a tractor ploughing in a field,
yes,
turning up all that soil, you see the gulls flying after
after it,
getting the worms and stuff,
yes.
Should we stick a hawk out there for them?
Yeah, exactly. It's easy food, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, we're giving them easy food, and
I've
been a long protector, in my head at least, of pigeons, because we see them as vermin, and actually we're just creating the perfect environment for them.
Yeah.
We have these tall buildings, because they are originally
nest on ledges. Well,
they're not pigeons either, are they?
Yeah, they're doves.
They're doves. People call them. Oh, it'd be interesting if we still called them rock doves.
Yeah.
And how people would actually approach them. But, you know, we give them these buildings that are like cliffs, which are like their habitat, and there's an almost inexhaustible supply of food, because we are messy people. Yeah. You know, if you go out, you see, there's a place in the centre of Oxford called Bond Square. It's a good example of where pigeons gather, because people sit there and they eat their food. And no matter how tidy and neat you are when you eat food, it's generally sandwiches, or it's got bread or pastry, and it will just, the bits will fly everywhere.
Yeah.
And the pigeons will come down and eat it. So in a way, they're doing a little bit of a service for us. But we are giving them food and we're giving them habitat.
Mm.
And that's the reason why they're there.
Yeah, so the question...
Maybe that's an action to challenge your perspective on the animals that are around you, and particularly those that... you see as vermin.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting. Some people say, yeah, I love nature, but I don't like moths. I don't like bats. Don't like snakes. On it goes. And it's sort of like, no matter how you do it with those people, they're just so blinkered. But, you know, it's sort of like an action. Just maybe, you know, examine what's behind. I don't like snakes. Don't like worms. Well, what's behind that?
Do you remember Becky from Wembley?
Yeah, Becky from Wembley. Don't like magpies.
Magpies are nasty and evil, or something like that. There's a podcast episode right back in the day, by about 4 years ago now. Well, worth digging out. I cannot remember what the podcast episode is called.
Are magpies nasty or evil?
It was something like that, wasn't it? Now go back and listen to that episode as well, because I think we throw up again a few challenges in that one as well.
Yeah, so the announcement we were going to make. Thanks, Alvaro, for your question. I'll just read it one more time. Do you feel the use of captive trained birds of prey is a good way of dispersing other birds like pigeons and gulls? You know, the interesting thing there is dispersing. They don't capture, they disperse. So, you know, it's like a broom. It's a useful tool amongst other things.
Yes.
Anyway, the announcement we wanted to make which you may have before, but we're going to be going once a week in 2024 on a Sunday, 10 a.m. UK time. We'll also be releasing some bonus episodes or some guest episodes and alongside that. But what we're going to be having is one episode a week with two questions per episode, not one episode, not one question across two episodes. Well,
it's difficult to get your head around, isn't it?
What we do now is one question a week. We do two episodes a week.
Yes.
That has one question in
one, it. One question. So basically two questions. We do two questions every week in two separate episodes. Yeah. And we're now going to one question, one episode a week, where we'll still have the two questions in that one episode. So we're going to a longer form now, aren't we?
Yeah, so we're going to take you, the audience, with us. So whatever changes we make, we will stick with. But it's just designed to free up some time for us and freshen it up, the listening and the recording process up for us and you. So that's one announcement. But we'd also like to encourage you to support us on Patreon, which is a website where you can donate a chosen amount once a month on a one-off basis and claim some behind-the-scenes material that's only available to people who support us on there. And one thing we want to promote is there's an audio on there. What's that about?
Yeah, the audio is particularly covering frustrations around making the podcast accessible to all. Now, that was a conversation particularly around people that are consume things differently. So I know my wife doesn't listen to podcasts.
She reads.
That's just how she consumes, is through reading. She doesn't consume through listening. I consume through listening and reading, but predominantly I like to listen to what I'm learning. So everybody has a different way of consuming. One of the frustrations was, you know, we can do videos of the podcast and actually do captions for them, but that itself is a really long process. Even with the tools you can get these days for automatic capture, because the way we talk, you know, both of us have got accents, both of us don't talk absolutely clearly, because often it's a stream of consciousness. But that's the frustration. You know, I don't want to go too much into detail about what we spoke about.
It's an audio that's available to listen to behind the scenes. So there's plenty on there, you know, to have a look. Anyway, what we try and do on this podcast is, even though we don't talk about the countryside as much as we used to, we try and always bring it back to the environment in some way. You, the listeners, set the questions, and sometimes it's a challenge to bring it back to the environment, but this is what you want us to talk about.
I'm just going to tease up the questions, but I'm going to say, I'm thinking about saying who the next four questions are from.
Yep.
So the next question, and we've got some returning people here. So Olivia from Ridgeway, Illinois, your question is next. Debs from Didcot, you've got another question coming up. Ramona from Paraguay, we've got another question coming from Ramona. That's a very long question. Yeah. And then we've got Gavin from Grove in Oxfordshire. Again, another person who's returning. Yeah. Thank you so much for sending these questions in. Please continue to do so. A lot of them go to the Wildman Productions Facebook page for some reason. That's just where they go into. But you can email us at thepeoplescountryside@gmail.com. You can send us a direct message on Instagram as well. We're on and on also on Twitter. There are various ways you can do it.
It fascinates me that, you know, people engage with us in different ways, but most of the questions come in via Wildman Productions. It just shows that, you know, people consume in different ways and they find you in different ways. So the people who send in the questions,
yes,
are obviously engaged on that Facebook page. But there are other people who probably just listen and don't want to send in questions. They probably come at us from a different direction altogether.
I do wonder is because the People's Countryside Environmental Debate podcast is a long, long phrase to remember. But because you actually say your name every single time, I am Stuart, the Wildman Mabbott. Yeah. The Wildman sticks out in people's minds, and they search the Wildman on Facebook, and that's how they get to Wildman Productions. That might be the reason. That's a guess, but thanks for everybody sending questions in. It's really it keeps this podcast going, and thanks very much.